Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Second and 8 at the 47. McKinley lines up wide to the left. Keenum going to throw toward the right side, and he won't. Oh, and it's McKinley the pick. Here goes Tack around the right side and inside the 35 to the Washington 33-yard line. Deidre Sanat banged it out, and it came right into the hands of Big 98. So now Atlanta has Devin Gray wide to the left. Sanu and Hardy to the right. They hand it to Ito Smith, who dives for the end zone. Did he get in? He did for the Atlanta touchdown. 5-yard run by Ito Smith, and Atlanta takes the McKinley interception. And 5 plays later, the Falcons are on the board with the score. Here is Alamide Zaccheaus now to take the punt return of Tress Way. A snap from Sundberg, a good one. And here is Zaccheaus now. Fair catch called for. Did he touch it? He did, I believe. And the second Atlanta turnover on special teams as Robert Davis has recovered it for Washington. Second time a punt has been muffed tonight by Atlanta. Final snap of the preseason, and it'll be a touch of the knee for Dwayne Haskins. Washington will win 19-7 here tonight. The final tonight, Washington 19 and Atlanta 7.
That was last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and welcome to a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Boy, do we have a lot to chop up from that game last night, and of course your calls and everything ahead. You, what up? It's a Friday. Welcome to it.
Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody had a great night last night. It was a great night to be out. If you went to the football game or if you went to the baseball game, it was a great night to be out. And give a shout out to my man Orin the Sigma for that little bit of a montage. We had that little Falcons montage. That was kind of cool. So yeah, football is back. Now we can start getting ready for football. Because we got one preseason game to go. It's going to be a running clock. Get the heck out of there, and let's get ready to play. Let's get ready for some real football.
All right, initial reactions to the game tonight. And, of course, headlines this morning include the Braves. The Falcons. Braves won again last night, a sweep of the Miami Marlins. And we'll get into that coming up in a few minutes. But let's get back to the Falcons for a moment, if we can. Initial reactions, early takeaways. Special teams, I think, right off the bat, kind of jumps out at you. You mentioned we got a running clock kind of throwaway game, for lack of a better term, next Thursday against Jacksonville, and we seem like we have some pretty big issues on special teams at the moment.
There's some cause for concerns, but I don't think that anything is going to change too much. You know, I mean, punt returner, kickoff returner, that's an issue, you know, because we haven't really seen what we've had there. There's some concern about the kicker, not a whole lot, but there's some concern there. You know, not blowing the smoke up anybody glutes. There's some concern there. There's some tweets going out last night, flying back and forth about Tavecchio and him missing that. What was it, 39 yards?
Mm-hmm.
39 yards out. Yeah, it was a little bit of angst with that. But I think all in all, Falcons look pretty good. I mean, for the small sampling size that we saw, they look pretty good.
Yeah, let's talk about the good things, too, last night that happened in a 19-7 loss to Washington as our Falcons Friday begins today. And, of course, you're going to get a chance to weigh in across all our platforms at 929 The Game at Twitter, at BegHugh53, at John Fricke, and, of course, on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929, and that will be the call-in number as well. I will say this. I mean, Hugh, give me your initial impressions of what you saw. That defensive line was active last night. Boy, A.J. Clay made some nice plays. Tack McKinley made some nice plays. Deidre Sanat was involved in the action. I mean, there was a lot going on. Jack Crawford had a good night last night. That defensive line was active, and it was causing a lot of disruption.
Yeah, they look pretty good. No question about that. I think there's something to build upon. You talk about the interception that Tack had. You talk about AC, Adrian Claiborne, you know, coming off the corner. They put a lot of pressure on Colt McCoy. Looks pretty good. Like they're going to be pretty decent this year.
Yeah, they looked like they were a lot of fun and interesting. And I thought for a second, because Tack took that deflected interception and started headed to the end zone, and he was in full touchdown mode. It was kind of fun to watch. Tack, he had a little bit more burst around the corner than I expected to see, and he was having fun out there. It was kind of neat to see. Jack Crawford, I thought, played really well last night. He was involved in a lot of things. Jermaine Grace made a big play. Duke Riley made a big play. Down near the goal line, there were some guys on defense stepping up.
Yeah, he was feeling himself yesterday when he made that stance on the goal line. He shortened like Art said, he shortened the fullback's neck and was able to make the play. That's what you want. That's what you want right there. And he did a great job. He did extremely well. Might have saved his roster spot last night. I don't know if one series of plays could save your roster spot, but he flashed a little bit last night, and that's always good. That's always good.
Yeah, it was Duke Riley's time to shine and see if he actually may have made the team on that, stopping his former teammate Darius Geist down there short of the goal line in that play, and he was all excited. And on the offensive side of the football, I think we saw some really good things from Ito Smith. We talk about that number two running back. You know, if you were wondering if Ito had kind of the toughs, we knew he had the moves. I thought he had maybe the best game of anybody offensively last night.
He played well. Listen, I know you're excited. I hear it in your voice. I don't get that overly joyed over a preseason game. I like to pick out, some positive things that happen, and that's about it. But, I don't get overly joyed about no preseason game.
Yeah, no, I think the concerns I have outweigh from a starting 22, I'm okay. Beyond that, depth is a concern on this team. I mean, there's a reason. All right, let's get this one out of the way. 12 games in a row they've lost in preseason. I know that doesn't matter, but
what does
at the
that
same
mean?
I guess it's just kind of looming there, and some fans are going to make a big deal. They already are making a big deal.
You're making a big deal out of it, but that's okay. It's funny watching the game last night, and I tweeted this out. I said it's amazing how we all watch the same game, but we all see something different, and that's okay. That's okay. Your level of concern. I'm not picking on you because of your level of concern. I just see it differently than you. The Falcons came down. They sputtered a little bit in the beginning. They put a drive together. They put points on the board. There were some miscues, but overall they executed pretty well. Ran the ball pretty decent once they got into a rhythm. Pass protection was a little bit of an issue. Gano got beat off the corner, but that was a reason why that happened. He was trying to help the guard. He was trying to help Lindstrom out with his pass protection. There are little things that you can correct. There are things that Coach Quinn is going to correct. But I think all in all, you got out of it what you wanted. You were able to sustain a drive, you put points on the board, and you got a chance to look at the young players play.
It is a Falcons Friday. We're certainly going to get your reaction on Twitter, on our Facebook page. Of course, we'll be taking your calls later in the program, and on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line, the good, the bad, from what is now an 0-4 start to the preseason. Again, if you're caught up in that, it's been a while. They're going to play Jacksonville, and the last team they beat in the preseason was Jacksonville 3 years ago. They'll be on the road next Thursday night to wrap up the preseason. A lot of decisions have to be made about what's going to take place in terms of the roster for the Atlanta Falcons and whether or not they're going to be making any changes to this roster at positions that we know of, right? So we'll certainly get into that throughout the program today. But as mentioned, it is a Friday. There's a lot going on. There was a big win for the Braves last night. We'll get into that in depth in about 12 minutes as the Braves knock off the Marlins and sweep the Marlins, Hugh. They go to 7-2 on the homestand, head off to New York tonight, 25 games over 500. I stopped and I looked at the standings this morning. Now, Washington keeps winning, and they're only six ahead of Washington. But the Braves are 25 games over 500. I mean, this team, for all the injuries and everything else that they've had to, kind of work their way through, the bullpen issues, the kind of spotty starting at times. Wow, I have to say, I'm pretty impressed at what they've done.
They've been playing well. And that Acuña kid last night, that Acuña came up big at the end. It's funny because, I kind of at the half when the starters went out, I was kind of going back and forth with the game, but I locked into the Braves a little bit longer than I did, especially when the starters came out.
Mm-hmm.
And how they fought to get back in that game, man, and then that Acuña kid to come up and to do it the way that he did it. See, that's when, you put your petty aside and you do the right thing and it pays off for you. Because think about it, that first night when he got hit, if he would have went out the second night and cleared the benches or hit somebody, and got to fighting, there's no telling how this would have played out. The best revenge sometimes is to just go out there and beat them in the standings.
I didn't know that. It's your birthday today? They just yelled at me. Both of them yelled in my ear.
That's how y'all do that. That's how y'all do me. That's how y'all do me. All right, dude.
Well, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I just cut it in my ear. You were talking about making a point about Acuña. They're yelling, it's his birthday.
Cooler kid, yeah.
Okay. Well, happy birthday, you.
Well, thank you.
How old are we today? Do we know?
I got to ask Chuckery because he remembers.
You're not the big 5-0 yet, are you?
I'm 48. I think I'm 48. Okay. That sounds about right. That sounds right. Chuck's proud of his car. Damn it, Hugh, we're born in the same year. You're 48. So, yeah, I think it's 48.
What year were you born? You know that?
71.
71, yeah. Yeah, you were 48.
48. So, yeah.
Yeah, 2 years to the big 5-0. Oh, yeah.
To those. I'm already getting my AARP lined up. I'm starting to get them, about to get them benefits. Get the benefits.
Yeah, I get
I'm going to get that free parking. I'm going to get that handicap parking in a couple weeks, couple months, a couple years. Hey.
Yeah, that first time you get that AARP card, that is like, oh, I don't want to see that thing.
Oh, no, I'm going to whip that thing. I'm going to start getting them discounted meals. Get them discounted meals. I'm going to get them discounted supplies and whatever I need, prescriptions, all that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make that happen.
Yeah, well, the senior
with
discount
pride.
Thing, the funny thing about the senior discount thing, and I'll just give you a quick heads up, isn't so much that you can get the senior discount. It's when they automatically give you the senior discount. They don't even ask for your ID. They just say, you know, they just ring it up. And your senior discount added to that. You're going, oh.
Awesome. Thanks. Can't wait for that senior discount.
Atlanta United plays tonight against Orlando City as they're back at MLS play. And, of course, we'll have the game for you live on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Our coverage begins at 7:30 tonight with a kick at 8 o'clock tonight between the Five Stripes and Orlando City. Round two of the Tour Championship. If you're going out today, look for me and the Maven. We'll be hanging around the first tee when they're teeing off. I'm wearing a light blue shirt. You can't miss me. 92 on the Game's Fantasy Football Summit is tomorrow at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, noon to 3. It's free to get in. You got to pay for your own food and drink. Brad Evans from Yahoo, Brian Baldinger, Liz Lowe's are the experts are going to be there with all of us. Our sponsors are Twin Peaks and Prize Picks. Prize Picks is Atlanta's premier solution for your daily fantasy sports action. Well, you mentioned that kid Acuña. How about them Braves? 25 games over 500 and rolling. That's next on the morning show on a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92 on the game after a CBS Sports Minute.
It's amazing. It really is. I mean, I think Ronald's going to play until he's late 30s, if not 40, so he's got another 19 years. So hopefully I'm around to watch a lot of it. So it's pretty special. It's kind of, you kind of knew it was kind of setting up to, once he came up with the game on the line, you kind of knew it was going to happen.
As Freddie golfs this ball toward the gap in left center, that ball's got a chance. That ball is up and over the wall. There's a festival for Freddie Freeman, a game-tying homer. Line drive, left center field, and the Braves have won it. Acuña sends us home happy.
How about them Atlanta Braves chop on as they sweep the Miami Marlins, and that's the way you answer the very first pitch to the Braves in this series when Ronald Acuña got plunked. We said just go out there, take care of your business. Let Acuña do his thing. He homered in the series. He gets a walk-off in the series. Freddie's hot in the series. The pitching in the bullpen was solid. And the Braves conclude a 7-2 homestand. And welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Really solid homestand. Braves really really did what they needed to do, Hugh.
People are getting excited about these Braves. They've been excited about them. They're getting more excited about them. I mean, you know, especially when we start to roll in the football season, starting to get cold outside, look cool. You know, the playoffs right around the corner, people are getting excited about them. And they're getting excited about the way that they look with so many injuries and they're still able to do what they do. I know it's the Marlins. I mean, I'm not trying to oversell it, but it's always good. It's always good to get a W. It's always good to get a sweep.
Yeah, and of course, you know, a little bit of, not payback, but a little bit of kind of righting the ship after that split that they had in Miami where they almost lost 3 out of 4 and how they kind of just, you know, went through the motions down there. And a lot of different storylines in this homestand. You beat the Mets 2 out of 3 to kind of slow their roll a little bit. Though since then, they've gotten hot again. The Mets are back, and they've won 5 in a row like the Braves.
Yeah, but what you've done, essentially, with the Mets, you let them know that, you know, as hot as you are, you can't – we got something to cool you off. We got that ice. We got that icebreaker.
And then you follow it up by taking 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers and sending a little notice that maybe – it's not just going to be the cakewalk that the Dodgers think to October and to the World Series again.
Yeah, you set yourself up for a confidence builder, no question about that, by doing that. First time you've done that in a long time. been a while since you've beaten the Dodgers, so that's great. And now you're doing nothing right now but building your confidence for this long haul towards the end of the season.
We saw kind of the resurgence of finally the cementing of that bullpen, Hugh. We saw 7, 6, 7, 8, 9. We saw Martin. We saw Green. We saw Shane Newcomb and Luke Jackson. And
Melanson.
And Mark Melanson really kind of stepped into them. Melanson has kind of stepped into this role. Mark Melanson, everybody talked about Shane Green. Keep in mind, Mark Melanson is a guy who, as a reliever once, had 51 saves in a year, followed it up with 47 more. An all-star closer at one point in his career. Boys looked at like this series is really kind of settled in, and he may be your closer going forward.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. You know, and Luke Jackson, he looks like he's comfortable now. I'm going to use that term that Nick Green and the rest of the guys use. He's not in high leverage situations anymore. So that's probably why he looks more effective. Because you're talking about a guy that a lot of people won't even say his name around these parts. They won't even say his name. He looks so horrible in the closer's role. But now, take a little pressure off of him, and you get a chance to appreciate his stuff a little bit more.
And it was a homestand that included, you know, contributions from guys like Tyler Flowers and a guy who stepped in for Dansby Swanson, who gave us not only a home run and great defense, but a bat flip to remember in Hecheverria. And, of course, you had another moment last night in this game. This is Dansby Swanson on this homestand, played last night up in Rome, and went out there, went 3-for-4 last night. Now, granted, it's against single-A ball, but the Dansby's back and playing, and Austin Riley could be playing for Rome tonight. Very good sign that Dansby's out there and playing and swinging the bat again.
Yeah, but I think there were some reports that, he was a little ginger, was out there walking, like when he ran, he was a little ginger. A little gingerly, running a little gingerly. Let me say it like that. I don't know, but I think I'm trying to be funny. Yeah, ginger. He was running a little gingerly.
It was also a homestand that included Ronald Acuna being hit, as we know. And again, you know, the potential of, you know, what that could have meant between these two teams, right? And it included Ronald Acuna in this homestand being benched. And it included Ronald Acuna hitting a home run and Ronald Acuna hitting a walk-off and everything else that is Ronald Acuna. Freddie Freeman, after the game last night, was talking about it. Let's hear from Mike Soroka, the starting pitcher, too, about how Ronald Acuna is that guy at that moment.
When he's up there, period, doesn't matter what team is against, what pitcher, I want him at the plate. And, you know, he did what he can do. He got his pitch to hit, and he didn't miss.
This guy, yes, Freddie, look, I don't want to undersell the importance of Freddie Freeman to this team because he is the team leader and the MVP in a lot of ways. But this Acuna guy, his legend, Hugh, just grew and grew and grew again on this homestand.
Yeah, and that's why when you think about it in the grand scheme of everything, that is why Snicker went and set him down when he did to let, you know, humble him a little bit. You know, and a lot of people made a big deal about, oh, my God, how you going to sit the kid down? Da, 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 da. Keep him focused. Keep him grounded because you're going to need that guy. You know, as good as Freddie Freeman is, and he's been the staple, the most consistent throughout the years for this team. He's been the guy that we looked at. Ronald Acuna is the star. And you know, being around the locker room and the way that locker room is meshing, you know, you need to keep him grounded. Not saying that he's a guy that's going to, you know, get all out of hand, but, you know, that they got a special group of guys. And they're having a phenomenal season. They're having a special season. And the way that you remember special seasons like this, you got to put yourself in a position to make them memorable, you know. And they're doing that. They're doing everything that they possibly can to make this a season to remember.
You know, everybody kind of locked in on, will Ronald Acuna get to 40-40 and things of that nature in these final 33 games that they have to play. You know, not to be lost to the fact that Freddie Freeman is having a career year. I mean, he's a guy that's been, you know, MVP-ish and a lot of different seasons. But right now, and of course, there are a lot of big numbers being put up this year by guys like Bellinger and Yelich. And no, Freddie's not going to win the MVP. He's probably not even going to finish in front of Ronald Acuna for the MVP, which is amazing when you consider that Freddie's hitting over 300. He has 34 home runs now and 103 RBI. I mean, Freddie's
just the majors,
man.
In RBIs. I think so. But it's just one of those years where, and it's another thing, John, when you're as clutch as Freddie is and you go about your business the way he does, people tend to get comfortable and it's almost expected. You know, and it's funny because I think it was the other night he was 0-for-4 and somebody had the nerve, the audacity to to get on Twitter and start talking bad about him. Like, oh, well, Freddie didn't do nothing the other night. Okay. If that's how you feel. Like, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to argue just for the sake of arguing. I mean, sometimes I will because, you know, my petty will rise up and I will do that. But not about stuff like that. That's just you're talking at that point just to be talking. Because this guy's been pretty clutch throughout the whole year. So, yeah. But he's at the point where we expect him to do what he does. And he goes out there and he does it. But when Acuña goes up there, and because he's so young and you know, he's all a part of that whole let the kids play movement and all of that, I mean, it's electric. And it gets the people going, man. Because you talk about a moment that was set up perfectly for him to do what he did in that moment. You couldn't have scripted that better from Hollywood. You really couldn't. I'm talking about from the way his series started with the Marlins to the way it ended. You couldn't have scripted a better one. First pitch, you get hit. Last pitch, you takes it to the house, wins the game. That's a Hollywood script right there. That's a movie.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no good call.
That's a movie.
Yeah, and that's what we always talked to, you know, and we said, should we retaliate? Should we fight? What should we do? And it was like it got to be most people said, just beat their brains in. And then for Acuña, you're right. For Acuña, of all people to do it, I mean, just kind of perfect. As the Braves sweep the Marlins last night, John and Hugh on the morning show on this Friday from the Kia Studios. Braves are going to go off to New York tonight. Now, the Braves have won 5 in a row, but so have the Mets. Mets haven't lost since the Braves beat them. And so the Mets and the Braves in a 3-game stand at Citi Field beginning tonight. The Braves will send Mike Foltynewicz up to the mound. Will Mike Foltynewicz be able to keep pace? We have this little battles that are going on within battles here for the Atlanta Braves. And one of those battles is about the postseason rotation for this club. We saw Dallas Keuchel kind of step up and kind of cement, I think. It's Soroka pitched really well last night. Soroka and Keuchel, they're in, okay? And then it's Foldy and Tehran and Max Fried. The last couple of times out or the last couple of outings we saw Max Fried, we saw the best of Julio Tehran. Will we get the best of Mike Foltynewicz tonight as he takes on no less than Jacob deGrom tonight at Citi Field? Then Max Fried will pitch on Saturday and Dallas Keuchel on Sunday for the Braves. Also, I do want to say this, that we have the morning menu coming up in about 8 or 9 minutes, that tonight we also have a big game for Atlanta United, and it's live on Sports Radio 92 on the game. The Orlando FC Lions, the Lions who've never beaten Orlando, never beaten Atlanta United, pregame at 7:30 with Mike and Jason, kick at 8. And we were talking about this yesterday a little bit with Jason Longshore, and you mentioned it too, Hugh. When it comes to Atlanta United tonight, some concern, because at some point Orlando's going to get you.
Not tonight. Can't be tonight. I mean, the way that they've been playing, I know we're teetering on being in first to worst, but I don't think it happens tonight, so I wouldn't even worry about that. I mean, you know, it's always a worry. Let me take that back. It's always a worry. It's always a concern. But if you go out there and you play with the same passion that you played with the last couple times you've been out there on the pitch, you'll be fine.
Yeah, so, you know, you see the Braves kind of peaking in a great homestand that really made them look and sent messages to the Mets, to the Dodgers, to Major League Baseball that they are – you know, this 77-52 record, this 25 games over 500, that this is a legitimate team as they continue to peak towards the playoffs. Same with Atlanta United. Now, again, in first place in the table in the East, again, Atlanta United now start to extend its lead. You know, it's first place by tiebreakers. But can they extend a lead as they take on Orlando City? And can Joseph Martinez get his 12th straight game with a goal? And all these great storylines that exists for Atlanta United tonight. And again, our coverage begins the pregame at 7:30 with Mike and Jason from down in Orlando. And, of course, we'll have the full game coverage with a kick at 8 o'clock. We're going to be out at Eastlake today with the midday show. I'm going to be out there walking around. I'll say hi to those guys and drop on by, too. Don't miss out on our coverage at Eastlake this week. Midday show, 10 to 2. And come see the Tour Championship Round 2 today out at Eastlake. On Sports Radio 92 on the game. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com and at PGAtour.com and at TourChampionship.com. Mention the morning menu. Abe, the producer, with his three questions of the day. That's next. You're going to want to answer them, too, when we post them. With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game and 92.9thegame.com.
Heads up. There's a three-course meal headed your way. This is the morning menu on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, we call it the morning menu, your little breakfast appetizer, main course, and dessert with Abe, the producer. A couple of questions now. Hugh and I, again, as we do this, Hugh and I don't know the questions, and then We'll find them out as we answer them, and then we'll certainly tweet them out, and you can answer them as well, because there's always something fun on the menu every morning. Hey, Abe, what up?
What's going on, guys? We all watched the Falcons last night. We saw their colors, obviously, are black and red. This question, however, is black and white. We're going
was that
all
like
in.
A play on words?
A little bit. Trying to have a little fun. Yeah. We're all in or all out on this question here. What's more likely, that the Falcons win the NFC South or that they miss the playoffs altogether?
Oh, it's more likely they win the NFC South.
I would probably agree with John Frickie on this.
Really? One. Both yeah. of you going, it's more likely that they.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
this is a team that in most power rankings is not in the top 10.
You know, again,
hey, how many?
I got to tell you, it's funny how we all watch the same game.
Yeah.
And we all see something different. I can't remember which year it was. I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago when they were talking about Drew Brees was dead in the water and the Saints were all in this cap trouble.
Past his prime. Have yeah. we seen that Wade. Recently?
Yeah, and
then they go on a hell of a
shot.
Run. It yeah. came down to the, I think it came down to the Saints and the Falcons. Or no, it was Saints and Carolina at the end of the season
That's
that
right.
year. If I'm
yes,
not mistaken.
Yes, yes,
right.
yes. Because yes.
I remember because Manti Te'o was there.
That's right.
And they were talking about it during the preseason. Oh, the Saints are dead in the water. They're in cap hell. They don't have any players. Hello? Like, you don't know, like, most people, with all due respect, when they watch football, don't know what they're looking at. Like, and I'm not trying to be a football snob or an elitist or anything like that. You have to watch the game the way that Coach Quinn is coaching the game and watching the game. He's not looking like they scored first. They got the touchdown they wanted. They sustained the drive, they executed. They made some mistakes. Gotta clean that up. But he saw what he needed to see. He saw what he needed to see. And that's all that you need to know. It's way too many moving parts with this to judge this team on what you saw last night.
You know, I know depth is a concern, but the fact is you only dress 48 guys. So, I mean, how much depth is not like Alabama or Georgia? I mean, you don't have to be worrying about the third string. So here's where I'm with you on this, is that I looked at the first string and what they did last night, and all I saw was a defense that can be really solid and fly to the football, and I saw an offense that, even though they only got the one touchdown, can really score when they're going to want to be able to score. And I think they're better than the Panthers. Oh, I know they are. And I know they're better than Tampa, and I think they're every bit as good as the Saints. So, yeah, I'm sticking by my answer.
I'm a little shocked that you both went that way. I have seen – now, we've talked about this. I'm the most pessimistic fan that could possibly be for all my team. We talked about how nervous I am for Florida while everyone else seems to be positive of blood. We talked after the show yesterday in our preparations how nervous I am for Atlanta United. Never lost to Orlando City going down there. I'm nervous about that game. I talk about how nervous I am for the Braves. And here I am, the only guy with the Falcons, and of course I'm nervous about what they can do. I hope I'm wrong. I hope you guys are right.
He has a new place with like 9 TVs, but no puppy. I think he needs a puppy.
No,
I have
a
dog.
He has a dog. He walks
no
every morning.
Puppy.
You don't want. I can't handle the puppy.
But no, Abe got the nice little setup. He got like what, 4 TVs?
4 TVs, 2 computers that can stream.
Abe doing it real big.
Come on, a little sports bar.
Yeah.
Okay, question number 2 here. One of the
get
main
off of
courses.
Abe. He don't want to talk about his stuff.
We're gonna get to me with question number 3. Don't worry. What's your favorite logo in all of professional sports? Mind you, not the mascot, not the team name, the actual logo or design. And I went with pro sports to weed out all the just amazing minor league stuff there is.
Well,
so pro sports.
To me, it's an easy answer because I think nothing is even close. The Blackhawk on the front of the Chicago Blackhawks jersey. Not even close.
I gotta
that's
say,
to me.
I got to say the Raiders logo.
Raiders logo is pretty sharp.
Like, the Raiders logo is timeless. Like, it's iconic. It's the one, like, I could honestly say when I was coming out and they asked, you know how you asked all the Raiders, who you want to play for? I wanted to play for the Raiders. I wanted to wear that silver and black. It's something, you know, you have teams that have black sprinkled in their uniforms and now everybody has that third uniform and all. It's something about that combination of silver and black and the mystique of being a Raider. When you look at the history of the Raiders and the guys that played for the Raiders, I wish I could have been a Raider. At some point in my career, I mean, love playing for the Eagles, love playing for the Jets. Yeah. Orange talking about it. What about Jacksonville? Jacksonville was okay.
Yeah,
if I could have taken that year in Jacksonville and made that a year with the Raiders, I probably would have been a lot happier. I definitely want that.
Hey,
Raiders
by the way, I agree with you on the NFL. I mean, I think there's a top five in the NFL. I think the Raiders are one. I mean, the Chiefs, the Rams, the Chargers, these helmets. Even the Redskins have a pretty cool helmet, I have to admit. All right, so you're nodding your head like you know what you what so I mean you ask it because you always
well
have an
I
answer.
You know, look, for me, I mean, you know, this answer would have been different 2 years ago, but I really like the Las Vegas Knights in hockey. I really like what they've done with that.
That's a nice one.
I go a lot more old school though. I like the Browns old elf logo a lot. Obviously, it's not
a helmet.
No, not on the helmet. I didn't say helmet. Just logo or design.
Oh, okay.
The Browns helmets. I mean, boring as can be. I also, by the way, what's up with? I don't like the helmets that only have that don't match each side.
So you don't like the Steelers?
There's a couple helmets that have a logo on one side and either blank or something else on the other. I'm not the biggest fan of those.
I don't mind though.
I don't know why I brought that up, but
because you had a moment,
right? That's the main course. What's the appetizer?
Is that it?
No, we got one more, and this is where I probably come into play a little bit. What's your go-to unplug activity? If you want me to give an example first, I can do
that.
Give
me an example.
Okay. I think we've talked about this, you in the mornings a lot. I'm a movie guy. Yeah. I go see films. I've actually got tickets to see back-to-back films today. When I have some free time and there's something.
What are you seeing today?
I'm seeing Angel Has Fallen, which is the new Olympus Has Fallen film.
The first one was just like, it better be better.
No, it's not going to be better. Of course it's not going to be better. It's not going to be better.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm also seeing Good Boys.
Okay.
But I'm seeing it. But movies are the thing that if I have a couple hours to kill and it's just something to do that I don't think, I don't stress, I just
sit in
there.
You mean outside of sports, right?
Outside of watching sports.
I would probably say video games or working out. That's probably it. It helps me relax a little bit.
I can't do working out.
Sometimes, you know, it's not like going there and just get something done. You know what I mean? Just going there, take your mind off of something, make you feel better.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. That's when I say unplug. Just something to take your mind off everything else. I sit in films and I just get lost for 2 hours.
Or I will, like, what my new thing is now every now and then, I just get on Twitter and do petty beefs.
Oh, we're aware of that.
Yeah, I do petty beefs.
Oh, we see that. Don't worry about that.
But I've kept it clean. I'm way past 21 days.
You've done a great job. I almost am bored with your Twitter feed now.
Oh, no, I'm about to go back to the old.
Yeah, I want petty Hugh back.
Because I haven't
been called
in the office.
The birthday gift to yourself.
Yes.
Happy
birthday, by the
way. I haven't
been called in the office yet by Mr. Caffey. So I'm going to go ahead and just let him fly.
I want you to get back to that.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and let him fly.
You know, the only place I actually really totally lose the world is on the golf course.
I was going to say bowling alley, knowing it was golf, just to mess with you.
Yeah, I know. But I get out on the golf course and I don't think about anything but golf. I lose all, you know, all the worries go away. I just think about golf.
I think about how it's too hot to golf.
Well, right now it is.
That's the problem with golf right now. I sit in an air-conditioned theater, a little popcorn, I'm happy. I can't be out there golfing right now.
That is the morning menu. You can find it in about, 2 or 3 minutes at 929 The Game on our Twitter. We're also asking about your biggest concern for the Falcons. Last night, that's all at 929 The Game on Twitter. And having some spirited fun debates with people like Daddy Ice this morning. All good. We're all brothers. We're all Falcons fans. Talking about what we do next. And we are going to talk to you about that, too. Your reaction to the Falcons last night, 404-741-0929. Some of the position battles, who won them, who stood out, and your thoughts as we continue next with John and you on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929thegame.com.
I feel good about it. I feel like my preparation is in a good place, and I'm comfortable and ready to go. And I thought there's still an opportunity for guys to showcase what they can do in the second half and, you know, trying to make this team.